Hello, and thanks for joining us on Beyond 2000.
Yes, it's not quite Beyond 2000. It's even better. It's Beyond 2015 with Dr. Hitchcock here for Tech House.
One time. Oh, yes.
One time every fortnight.
Yeah. Oh, my glob.
Massive. And speaking of massive, as I mentioned before, when you're not, like, fighting cybercrime and throwing Google out the window, you're also holding down at Massive Summer Solstice.
Yeah, going to be playing in the, I think they call it the chill tent. But I might not be playing chill. I don't know. I was telling Mr. Dan off air before, I don't know, I started a playlist and it's been like all downbeat and chill, chucking in some of that, I don't know, new Future Sound of London shit, some old Kruder and Dorfmeister.
Yeah, K&D sessions. Because, you know, the kids these days, they like to use the Serato and the record box and that sort of thing. What do you do to, you know, like, is, you know, from a tech house point of view, what's the best, you know, like, open source privacy? You know, you don't want, like, Steve Jobs, you know, figuring out what you're putting in your DJ set from Beyond the Grave, do you?
Yes, it's a tough one. Music software isn't as advanced as a lot of the other areas. But a really good piece of software is called Mix, M-I-triple-X, and that's out on GNU Linux or Linux, so Ubuntu, Elementary, all those kinds of operating systems, and that's all open source. And I think you can actually get it for the mainstream platforms as well, but that's like Serato.
Mainstream.
And Traktor. Mainstream.
So mainstream.
Yeah, non-free software.
Yeah. What are we talking about today?
Well, I've just got a couple news articles based around encryption. The first one is from The Guardian from a couple days ago. Apple, Google, and Microsoft weakening encryption lets the bad guys in. So Apple, Microsoft, Google, Samsung, Twitter, Facebook, and 56 other technology companies have joined together to reject calls for weakening encryption, saying it would be exploited by bad guys. After Apple's chief executive Tim Cook claims that any backdoor is a backdoor for everyone, the Information Technology Industry Council, which represents 62 of the largest technology companies, said encryption is a security tool we rely on every day to stop criminals from draining our bank accounts, to shield our cars and airplanes from being taken over by malicious hacks, and to otherwise preserve our security and safety. The debate over encryption, which has become the bedrock of the internet, used by almost every transmission that needs to be secure, increasingly those that don't, has erupted after the terrorist attacks on Paris.
So this was in the wake of the Paris terrorist attacks, when various governments were like, well, you know, the terrorists are using mobile phones, let us surveil everything.
Yeah, so especially the US and the UK, and the UK is currently resurrected its what's been dubbed the Snoopers Charter recently.
And this is kind of good because it's the big tech companies going, well, actually, no.
Yeah. So after the whole Snowden revelations, it was revealed that the NSA had been dropping all these, tapping into the backbones of the internet at all these key ISPs all around the world, especially in the States where most of the traffic goes through. And what that meant is any unencrypted traffic passing through those could then be tapped off and leaked and stored by the NSA. And so immediately after that, although I'm not a big fan of a lot of these companies on philosophical grounds, they did some good things. Like Google, for example, said, oh, truck it, we're going to use HTTPS, which is, if you access your bank account online, that's how they encrypt the your access to it. And so they said, oh, truck it, we're going to do that end-to-end between all our data centers all around the world, so even if the NSA is snooping or other organizations, then they won't be able to read what's happening. And so in the lead up to Paris, just before the Paris debate, David Cameron in the UK was like, oh, what, you've got all these people using encryption, so we're going to put back doors in because encryption's evil. And then the industry was like, well, that's stupid because that means you're building backdoors into banking system encryption, and it's kind of take it or leave it. You can't, it's like all things tech in lots of ways, it's ones and zeros. You can either have it or you can't, and if you're putting in backdoors into encryption, then it's not encryption anymore because it's broken.
I guess the counter to all of this is that when the NSA does have access to all this stuff, and you know, you've just got to assume that they do. And that didn't stop them doing, you know, like a whole series of they didn't stop the terrorists then, when they could, you know, read whatever they wanted.
No.
And so now they're saying, no, we just need to read more stuff. And it's like, well, you already have access to all of this stuff, and it didn't stop you doing, you know, you didn't manage to stop any of these other things. So
yep.
what makes you think that, like, giving you more access to everything is, you know, because we know that they know, like, they know heaps of stuff already, and it's about, like, signal to noise as well. You
yes.
know, like, if you are monitoring, like, literally every person's communications, which is what they want to do, how do you figure out, like, whether someone's like, man, I hate this stuff, I'm so gonna bomb this, as like a grumpy teenager having a fight with his mum, or
yep.
you know, someone from ISIL who is actually gonna do something. And if and also, how stupid are these people, like, you know, real terrorists, if they are sending messages like that on systems that they know are going to be monitored?
Yeah, well, see, and that's an interesting point, because the coverage post Paris, the analysis of how these people did things was apparently the people that did the Paris terror attacks didn't even, hardly any of them even used encryption. Like, so much of their stuff was in the clear. So it's a tough one. And the thing with encryption is, it's a mathematical thing. It's kind of like, it in some sense, it's a law of nature, right? Like, it's built in such a way that you can't break it. Like, a strong password can be broken, but it might take years or decades to break it with modern technology. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm getting lost now.
Yeah, it's not the it's not like World War II when they're trying to break the Enigma code, and
no,
that was and by breaking Enigma they could then figure out, you know, like what the Germans were doing. This is like literally billions of people across the world using digital communication every day and trying to figure out whether, you know, what they said on Facebook chat means that they're about to go to the cafe or go to the cafe.
Yeah, and actually the bigger issue here really is, you know, in the West we have a innocence until proven guilty thing, apparently, sometimes, when it suits the law. And, you know, most civilians are going about their everyday life being law-abiding citizens, and the fact that our governments around the world have just decided, actually, we're just going to follow everything you say just in case you're bad, is not innocence or proven guilty. It's the opposite.
Big brother is watching.
Yeah. So where's the other one?
Big Brother is watching, and we're kind of voluntarily moving towards that space quite quickly as well.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like the government's coming in and telling us this. Yeah, they're doing it in a step-by-step way.
Yep.
Yeah, and we're giving all the information.
And another kudos to another big tech company who's also fighting the fight for encryption, BlackBerry, to exit Pakistan over data retention row.
Mm-hmm.
So BlackBerry, who's not that big in New Zealand, but phone maker BlackBerry is going to stop operating in Pakistan at the end of 2015 because of government requests to monitor customer data. The Pakistani government wanted to be able to monitor every message and email sent via its phones. In a blog post, it said it decided to exit the market altogether over the row. It said that Pakistan's demand was not to do with public safety, but a request for unfettered access. So,
yeah, I mean, you know,
same thing.
One, it's interesting to know that BlackBerry still exists.
yeah.
But two, no, it is kind of interesting, especially because, like, Pakistan is, you know, the front line of the war on terror, as they like to call it. The fairly hard to govern, unruly country at the moment, and you know,
yeah,
they're just like trying. If it's not a military coup at the moment, it's always very close to being a military run
right.
sort of country. So they're just obviously like, the government's like, man, give us your stuff.
Yeah,
and yeah, kudos to BlackBerry for probably giving away like literally $1 million by moving out of Pakistan.
Oh, totally. Yep. Yeah, and especially when they're in, like you say, they're not in a healthy state compared to the other mobile providers, you know, kind of sticking to their guns. And BlackBerry's also always had really, really strong encryption on all of their services. Granted, it's not open source, which means you've got to take your word for how good quality it is, but you know, but I guess, you know, we've got to shed some light and some positivity into this message.
Yeah.
And that is, encryption is awesome, and if you want to do more encrypted communications, there's a great app called Signal, which you can get on iOS, so Apple phones and Android, and it just basically lets you you can on Android you can actually let it replace your default SMS messaging thing. So instead of using Google Hangouts, you use Signal, and then every time you message someone else that has Signal on either devices, it'll be end-to-end encrypted. Makes it really hard for NSA, GCSB to listen in.
And
it's real easy to use.
Yeah. And you know, like they say, if you got nothing to hide, I don't want the NSA knowing what my favorite Drake track is, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's just between me and everyone I talk to on Twitter, you know? Like,
yeah. Well, I've warned you about the Drake, man.
Yeah. Okay, got nothing to hide.
I'll tell you what, I won't be pulling out any Drake when I go to KiwiCon next week.
Okay.
So KiwiCon is this big, you might call it a hacker conference, or you might call it a security technology IT security conference, depending on who you're talking to.
Yep.
But it's great. It happens every year. It's been going, I don't know, roughly a decade, and I'm going to be heading up, check out some people talking about information security and all that kind
of
stuff.
So where's it at?
Wally's, St. James Theatre. Yep. Tickets are sold out.
Yeah.
1,400 people. Talked my folks into letting my 16-year-old brother go.
Yeah? Yep. Nice. And so across the course of the, is it a weekend?
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Wednesday is all day free free tutorials and training. So if you're in Wellington, go to kiwicon.org and jump along to some of their training. And then Thursday, Friday is conference talks and stuff. And then there's a party at Bodega on Friday night.
Cool. So that's next week.
Yeah. And at the Bodega party, it's like 20th anniversary of the release of the Hackers movie with Angelina Jolie.
Oh, no way.
And what's the guy from Trainspotting? One of the guys from Trainspotting, and I don't know, hopefully they'll have some big screen wipeout happening. That'd be my dream.
Oh my god, sounds awesome. So we'll catch up with you in a fortnight and you'll let us know what happened at KiwiCon.
Sure.
Yeah, and kind of what's happening in the sort of New Zealand space, I guess.
Yep.
Nice. That is Dr. Hitchcock with Tech House.